This week is Parshas Shmos, the beginning of the book of Exodus. It begins, Ve'ele Shmos b'nei Yisrael aboy Mitzrayim. These are the names, to be more precise, and these are the names of the children of Israel who came to Egypt with Yaakov, each person and his house. Ishu Beisoybo. So the Vav at the beginning of Ele and these is always a connector, whereas Ela, if it just says these, then it's a disconnect. So there's a connection. These people who are in Egypt, these are the same people to whom the book of Genesis is dedicated. So there's a very interesting insight from the Degel Machne Ephraim, who was the grandson of the Rabbi Baal Shem Tov. And in the past, when we've talked about Yira, fear, I've always, when I've read about fear, it's always been divided into Yira Ilo'o and Yira Tato'o. Higher kind of fear and lower kind of fear. So lower kind of fear is Yira Sa'onish, is fear of being punished. And Yira Ilo'o is fear of God, fear of, just for want of a better word, fear of God. So it occurred to me as I'm learning the Degel Machne Ephraim that he almost never uses that phrase. He talks about Yira Chitzonis and Yira Panimis. Outside fear and inside fear. So where somebody else would talk about Yira Sa'onesh, fear of punishment, he talks about Yira Chitzonis, that is outside fear. When somebody talks about the fear of God, Yira Ilo'o or Yira Saroimimus, the fear of the greatness, the Degel Machne Ephraim talks about Yira Panimis, inside fear. And it suddenly occurred to me that over the last few months we've been going in that direction of seeing all Gevura and Yira as being the awareness of the interior divine, that it suddenly caught my eye that this is what the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov is. And he says Shamati Beferush. He very rarely says, when he talks about hearing something from his Zayde Baal Shem Tov, usually he says Shemati, or even Shemati B'Shmoi. I heard from somebody who says it over and here. He actually uses the phrase Shemati B'Feirush. I heard my Zayde say like this: Kisha Odom Medabik Atzmoi LeYira Pnimis. If a person will cleave to that inner fear, then all, any kind of evil, any kind of anything, just disappears. So, we have, in the past, we've talked about that when a person looks out at the world, and he says, oh, what a beautiful forest. How could anybody doubt God after seeing such a beautiful nature or whatever? It's interesting. Very rarely do people go to, you know, Auschwitz and see the horrors of the Holocaust and say, psst, how could anybody doubt God, right? So usually when a person is using something outside themselves to prove, so to speak, that the existence of God, they use something beautiful, something full of chesed, some amazing coincidence that turned out to be life-saving or repairing or serendipitous. Right? Rarely does somebody use as some miraculously bad event to prove the existence of God. So we were saying that this is the beginning of Avraham Avinu, su'u moroi menechem, raise your eyes on high, uru mi boro ele, and see who created this. And Yitzchak is the personification of the experience inside the self of fear of God. So the Rebbe Rabbinim points out when Paroi says to the Jewish midwives, Kalabein hayuloid hayoyre tashlichuhu, every son that's born, I want you to throw him into the river, v'cholabast chayon, and let the girls live. It says, v'loy osu kash dibaleim melech Mitzrayim. And they didn't do like Pharaoh spoke to them. So, v'tchayenus hayulodim, and they allowed the boys to live. So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, why did it say, why doesn't it say Kashidibe Lohem? The choice of the word Elehem towards them rather than Lohem to them needs explaining. So the Gemara in Masechet Sotah says that because it doesn't say Lohem, it says Elehem, it means that Paroi tried to get them to sin, but he couldn't get them to sin. Melamed shetovan edvar averi v'loy nitbu. So, we've learned this Rebbe Rabbinim in the past, but suddenly it occurred to me what another level of meaning. He says there's two kinds of fear. There's a beginner of fear at the level of Chochmah, and there's a beginner of fear at the level of Bina. So if I want to do something and then I figure out to myself that I'm going to get really hurt if I do that, I'm going to get really punished, it's going to be really costly, I'm not going to like the consequence of doing that thing, then my not doing that thing is a result of Bina, of understanding. Maybe in Dover Mitochtov, I've thought through the different scenarios in my head and figured out Sinish Kedai. But you can't say that I didn't want to do it. Right? I did want to do it. I figured out it's not worth it. But you know something? If I see something burning fire red hot and I snatch my hand back from touching it, that wasn't Bina. That was fear at the level of Chochmah. I didn't have to think about it. I was never drawn to try and touch or put my hand in the fire because at the most basic instinctual level, I would have had to fight my instincts to even get my hand to go near the fire, and to think that something inside me actually wanted me to touch the fire is crazy. It's not there. So that kind of fear is at the level of Chochmah. So, like Chazal says, Emoy l'Chochmah achoisi at, that Chochmah is called my sister because for the same reason that I would recoil from my sister at that level of recoiling from the fire, and so the Pasuk in Mishlei that says call wisdom my sister is trying to tell us that you have to have it has to come such an instinctual level, because if you have to figure it out that it's wrong or it's forbidden or it's dangerous and this, like, you know, that's Bina. So, when Paroi said to the Jewish midwives, I want you to drown the boys, they recoiled at such a deep level that he didn't even speak to them. So, where it says, V'loy osu, and they didn't do it, kashadiba elehem, like he spoke unto them, because he wasn't even speaking to them. They couldn't even hear him. When he killed the Jewish boys, it's like he didn't even get the words out of his mouth, and they were already horrified and just shocked that somebody would make such a suggestion to them, and it was to them so out of the question. So that's the kind of yiro, that's the kind of fear. It's a different kind of fear than bina fear. So therefore the Torah says Vayas Lohem Botim, that God saw that they had, you know, they were fear, that they had fear of God. But Tireno Hamayaldo, he says, Elohim, and the Jewish midwives feared God. Vayas Lohem Botim, and he made them houses. So obviously there has to be a midah keneged midah, there has to be a measure for measure. That if you did this, then the reward has to fit. So the Mefarshim talk about that the children of Yocheved and Miriam themselves were like houses. Like, you know, Yocheved has a son called Aaron, who is the bayis, the Beit HaKohanim. He's like the house of the priestly clan. And Moshe Rabbeinu is like a house of Malchus, the house of prophecy. What's the address for Kahuna is Aaron, the address for prophecy is Moshe, and so on. That's one way of looking at it. And I want to say another pshat. See, the Dego Machan Ephraim, he says, when Yaakov is about to go down to Egypt, God says to him, Anoichi Eire Dimoch, I'm going to go down with you to Egypt, Mitzrayim, Anoichi Elcho Gamalei, and I'm going to bring you up, also you'll have gone up. So the Degel says, you know, I was asked about this phrase, Gamalei. He could have said, Anoichi Elcho, and I will bring you up, Gam Ta'ale, you will also come up. The word Ale could be read Olo, you're ready up. So he says that imagine you're going into a place which is so deep, you're afraid you're not going to be able to get out. So what do you do if you're going down into such a deep pit? You make sure to take with you a ladder. So if you get stuck at the bottom, you'll be able to get out with the ladder. So this explains Yaakov didn't want to go down to Egypt because he was afraid. If I go down to Egypt, who knows if I'll ever be able to get out of Egypt again. So God says to him, I'm going down with you. Anoichi Eiredimcho Mitzrayim. I'm going down with you to Egypt. So the Degel says, God is saying to Yaakov, your fear is the ladder. Because your fear is the Shekhinah. So Memele, if you're taking your fear of turning into an Egyptian with you into Egypt, that's the ladder with which you're going to get back out of Egypt. So the Gamalei refers to that fear that you're taking down with you, that itself is the means by which you're going to climb back out again. So he says that when the Torah tells us, Ve'ele Shmois B'nei Yisrael Aboy Mitzrayimo Ishi Beisoy, that this Ishi Beisoy, that they also came down to Egypt with the same fear, and that fear that they had because they learned it from Yaakov, that was what was going to ensure that they get back up. And the word alei, which could be read in the past tense, is because when something is such a deep certainty, it's like it's done, right? When God says, I'm going to do something, it's already done. So when God says to Yaakov, you're going to come out, it's already like you can talk about it in the past tense. And the same thing is with the Bnei Yisrael, that they also came together with Yaakov, together with his fear. And the Degel talks about the word house as being a metaphor for fear. Ishubesoi, I want to say, we were learning that there are three names of God that are associated with Yira. The three names that begin with an Aleph, there's the Shem Elohim, the Shem Ekya, and the Shem Adni. Elohim is Yira because it obscures. It obscures the presence, the Hashgacha Pratis, because everything looks like it's happening in a natural way. Ekya is the name that's associated with the future, and we're afraid of the future. And the name Adni is really the Nartik, it's the sheath that swallows the name Yudke Vovke. And Yudke Vovke is not allowed to spread out into the world because it's pure chesed. If we could really live with the name Yudke Vovke in our awareness, we would live in a boundaryless, timeless world. We would really disappear. You know, that we think of our existence, you know, I feel like I exist, right? I feel like I'm conscious. I feel like things that happen to me that I observe with my eyes, I'm observing in real time. You know, I can take a clock, I can take a watch, and I can watch, you know, the bus passing on the street, and, you know, I can time things, and it all fits together in my world, and I can be at a certain place at a certain time, and somebody else who made an appointment with me will be there at that. So, like, I experience my reality as being this linear thing without interruption, and so I really feel that I exist in time, that I'm not just an illusion, right? But the emes is that I am, you know, that my brain is just so good at keep on giving me images of what's going on, that I really think that I'm a continuous thing, and, you know, I'm separate from the world. I'm me. I have a mind. It's situated somewhere inside my head. There's a place called my mind where it's conscious, and it's an Irish case. It's not really how it is. It's just that the human brain is so such a great instrument at doing what it does that it can fool me into thinking I'm really aware of what's going on, and I'm in the middle of it, and I have this thing called a mind, and it's eternal or whatever. It's like gonna carry on after. It's just all kinds of stuff, right? I mean, it's like Julian is here. He really knows this stuff. I would embarrass myself if I try and talk too much and say but the thing is that this thing that I call, that I think of as my Gewalt self, you know, this whole person is like, it's an illusion. If I could be in the shame, Yudke Vovke, in the awareness of shame, then all my illusions of myself as being more conscious of myself or more person or more real than a cockroach, you know, would fall away. It would fall away because there's only really one Hoye Hoye Veyeh. There's only one who is, was, and will be, and that's Ribbono Shel Olam, you know. And I am given through the Hateva, through this hiding of that divineness, that oniness, I'm given this illusion temporarily of this continuing consciousness called me. So the name Adni, the name Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, is it's a bias, it's a house in which Yudke Vovke can be, as big as I make my house, that's how much room I can allow for Yudke Vovke to be mispashit, to expand. But I can't even say Yudke Vovke out loud, because in doing so, I would release it into the world as a sound wave. I'm not even allowed to release it into the world as a sound wave, because the Torah tells me I mustn't. It's not the time. So all I can do is look at it with my eyes, read it with my eyes, and with my mouth at the same time say the Shem Adni. So we talked, when we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we talked about what unbelievable tzimtzum that is. So another meaning of gevura, as pachad, is the tzimtzum of this shem yudke vovke inside the name Adni. Somebody asked me last week, why is gevura associated with the feminine and this and that, and you know, there's so much new age romantical nonsense. I said to her, have you ever been at a birth? She said, yeah, I've given birth. I said, well, was it natural? She said, yeah, it was a natural birth. I said, well, did it hurt? She said, well, no, because I had an epidural. I said, tell me, have you ever been by a birth that's really natural? A human birth? She said, yeah, I've attended other births. I said, well, no. So was it painful? Were there moments where that woman was screaming, please help me, I can't go on with this, please, you got to do something for me, Dr. Khan. You see, a woman in childbirth can reach that really desperate level of despair that I can't go on anymore, and the pain is overwhelming, and the pressure, and I'm going to die, and please, and before a woman starts to go into that last stage of labor, she reaches that place of mamish, of yish, of despair, and Kenish, please, doctor, do me. And that's usually the point that doctors intervene. That's gevura. That's pachad. That's fear. That's the feminine. When we talk about the divine feminine, I mean, that's what we're talking about. That giving birth to the world, that, you know, we, in the introduction to the second mission of Sefer Yetzirah, we talked about how that is the meaning of sefira, that that spear of the yeled, that the amniotic sac in which the baby is, you know, that the pain, the terror that's associated with. These are when we talk about the feminine, you know. If I can feel inside myself that, you know, the Rabbeinu Shlomo said, I am me, and I need you to represent me in the world. Heshi, please, I made you in order to represent me in the world. And if I could really internalize that this is who I am, I'm the representation of God in the world, that I am the Adni to the Yudke Vovke, that I am the narotic, you know, I'm the sheath in which the divine takes place, that when we talk about the Shem Yichud Kitshid Rihu Shechinte, that the connection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Shechinah is the connection of me and God. That's the meaning. And when I'm doing the mitzvah, when I say I'm trying to do the mitzvah in order to make a yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Shechinah, I'm it. I'm the Shechinah. Right? God said, you know, I need you to be for me in the world. You're for me in the world. No? Oh, can you imagine if I really could experience that, if I could really feel that? So, Vatirenu amyaldois is elikim, vayaslohem botim, when the midwives experienced God at that level. Vayas Lohem Botim doesn't mean he made them houses in the sense that he gave them, you know, they became mothers of this and that. No, they became houses. They became Adnus. They became Malchus. They became the house that holds the divine. Right? The way that the Degel Machne Ephraim talks about the Yira Pnimis. They didn't have any Yira Chitzoinis. They didn't have any fear of what was outside. It was just the awareness of the divine inside. So Vayas Lehem Botim, that they themselves then became Adnus. They were terrifying to look at. It was like looking at God. V'yiru kol amei ha'oretz, all the people of the world will see kishem Hashem nikro lecho. V'ro'u kol amei ha'oretz kishem Hashem nikro lecho. The Torah tells us, and all the people of the earth will see that the name of God is called on you. V'yaru mimeko, they will be terrified of you. The Degel Machne Ephraim says that somebody who enters through that gate of fear, they themselves become fearsome. And so these women became terrifying because they themselves became so in touch with the Shekhinah. And it's interesting that we're learning a few times in the in Stropkov, in the Divrei Menachem, and he says over from his Zayde Divrei Cheskel, and this is the sons of Derech, that Hatznei Leches, that is an Indian of always walking modestly, you know, privately. Whenever you do a mitzvah, to do it privately. In fact, the fewer people that know about it, the more powerful the mitzvah is, right? Except Yiras Shemayim. And Sanzer said, that's the one mitzvah you have to do begolu. You have to do bepumbi in public. Right? So this is the mokor. This is the source of that. What does it mean, you fear God in public? Why is that not a public display? It's not about what's going on outside. Right? If I have any Yiras Shemayim, if I have any fear of heaven, meaning if I have any fear of the divine in me, it's going to show on my outside. And I don't have to be embarrassed that it shows on my outside, because it's only natural, because Vayas Lohem Botim, they became houses. V'ro chalameitz kishem Hashem nikro lecho, that the name of God is called on you. What does it mean, nikro lecho? That the yud ke vov ke is inside you and you've become the name Adni. Aleph Dalet Nun, no, my mate, of course they'll be afraid of you. It'd be really nice to think that where we've been going these last few months, we said, actually it was Alan Goldberg who introduced that phrase that Avodah Zorah is thinking of God as the other. That whenever we think of God as being outside, then we're not in Judaism anymore. And, you know, it's been just ringing in my head around and around. I can't get past it, but here this is what the Baal Shem Tov is saying. That any yira like this, yira chitzoinis, that only the yira pnimis. And how do you know that you're in yira pnimis? That yisparadu kol poelei oven. In fact, in Ishbitz this week he says vayas lehem botim, that Bias represents something that feels safe, that Vatirena Amayalda is that because these women really experienced fear of God, the true fear, Vayaslem Botim, he gave them this feeling of safety, because when you're that in touch with the divine in you, that you're afraid, that you're in this feeling of terror, of giving birth, like you're a woman, Yosheva Salamashber, you're in the pangs of childbirth of the divine, that's you feel you are in the world that you're giving birth to. So of course the Yaslem Button, they felt completely safe. What is there possible in the world that could scare you if you're so in touch with the divine? Just want to finish off by saying, you know, in this week's Sedra, we have the Pigish of Moshe and Aaron. They meet, and the Medrash says, Chesed v'Emes nifkeshu, Tzedek v'Sholem nashoku, Chesed ze Aaron, Emes ze Moshe. That when, before the world was created, and God asked, should he create or not? So Chesed says yes, Emes says no. The world is full of sheker, don't. Tzedek says yes, the world is full of tzedokah. Shalom says no. So what does the Torah tell us? Vatishlach emes aratzo, you threw emes to the ground and you went ahead and created the world. So everybody says, well, what happened to shalom? And the answer is, from Pshischa, right, that as soon as you get rid of emes, it's not so hard to make shalom. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in his incarnation as Emes, he can't stand the world. In his incarnation as Tzedek, he can stand the world. He wants the world. In Aaron, in his incarnation as Chesed, yes, make the world. Is in his incarnation as Sholem, no, he objects. So both of them have for and against, right? So when Moshe and Aaron meet at the mountain, that is a vayifkeshehu, they have an encounter, because Aaron says to Moshe, where are you? Are you still on this truth jag? And Moshe says, no, I'm not. Oh, says then it's tzedek v'shalom nashoku. So tzedek and shalom kiss, because they can, as dabka rucha barucha, they can work together. Because Aaron says, Moshe, if you're into your Emes thing, I can't work with you. So what was it that taught Moshe? The Tanchuma says, Misom Pelo Odom, God says to Moshe, who gave man a mouth? When Moshe was saying, you know, I can't go to Pharaoh, I can't speak. So, Misom Pelo Odom, the Tanchuma says, who gave you advice to run away from Pharaoh? Right? Well, Moshe was running away because he was afraid for his life, because he'd killed that Egyptian. But the Tanchum is right. Like, why did Moshe run away? If you're into the truth so much, if you believe that the truth trumps everything, if you're so into the Emes, then why didn't you take your day in court and say, you know, I saw this Mitzri, I saw this Egyptian hitting this Jew, and I felt sorry for him, and there was nothing I could do. I had to kill him. I mean, you know, go speak your truth. Why did you run away to Midian? So the fact that Moshe ran away meant that he had deviated from his path of truth. To save his own life, maybe, or because he realized that there he could help the Jews more in another way. But then why was he running away to Midian? Why didn't he organize the weather underground in Egypt or something? You know why? So when Moshe encounters God, he encounters him in the thorn bush. So what's the message? The message is that God also has to throw truth to the ground. That for God, being in Egypt is like, you know, and this is the concept of the crown of thorns, that there's been Yoshkes in you know, has this image. It comes from here, from the snare. Right, from that God has a crown of thorns, that God is inside this really painful conundrum, you know, that rips the flesh whichever way you turn. So what is it about? It's not Amos. The Eden are not slaves. It's not Amos. Eden are kinder. We are the children of God. B'ni b'chor Yisroel. What are we doing, you know, being stood over by this goy, ashebos chamoyrim b'sora mazreim asusim, you know, zreim masim. What are we doing? This fashtunken Egyptian standing over me with a whip, beating me to death, you know, for his bricks, you know, and anich b'diyit. You know, I mean, this is the same thing that's going on down from the beginning of time till today. What? How can the, you know, like the Piasetzner says, you know, how could the universe hear the screams of the Jewish children and not turn back to Tohu Vavohu? It's all sheker. Existence is a lie. I mean, either Rabbi Shlom said B'ni B'chor Yisroel, or you Adonisht. If we are these aristocratic princes and princesses, children of God, what's going on? It's a great selig, it's a great sheker. Novos, the Rabbi Shalom has his cheshbin. So he says to Moshe, you know, you're just going to have to learn that this is where you're going to encounter me. I'm wrapped in thorns, tearing me apart. And you yourself are also going to have to learn to deal with it. And that's why when Moshe blesses Yosef, he blesses him, Ritzoin Sheikh Nisna, I bless you with the Rotzoin of he who dwells in the thorn bush, because Yosef was another one of those tzaddikim who had difficulty with anything that wasn't mamish, the emes, right? So yeah, you have to allow for the fact that there's a parallel universe in which the great majority of people have their existence, not emes at all. And why? Because the Rebbe Hashem says, that's my cheshbon. What's the cheshbon? V'noichi elcho gam alei. The word gam is always a ribui. You're going to come out bigger than you went in. You're going to come out with more than you went in. So this idea that somehow we've come down this 2,000 years of exile and we are less than we were, that's a big lie, because that's a loss of faith. And the Ishbitzer used to say that when he heard in Pshischa, it was a big chiddush for him. He heard from the Rebbe Rabinim that even though it looks like the Jewish people are being extinguished, and, you know, who can compare today to Rabbi Akiva? Who can compare today to Rashi and the Rambam? Who can compare to the Ramban and the... Who can compare to the Vilna Gaon and to the Baal Shem Tov? You know, who are we today? What do we know? We're mamish ignoramuses. So, I was, what's the point of being in Golus? What did I achieve? I'm less than I was. No. Rabbi Hashem says to Moshe, no. And Moshe says to us, remember, Gamale, that it's you're coming out with more than you went down, which means that somehow we shine brighter than Rabbi Akiva and the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov and the Rambam. That we today, we Yidden are, you know, we're maybe because we're under pressure, and the more that they squeeze us, the brighter we get. But the part of our emuna is that, in fact, we're getting better. We're getting better. I bless you and me that we should really feel it.